I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hi, it's me, Mike. I run the Sonar Podcast Network, the very one you're listening to right now. I love podcasting and I love the Canadian podcast community. And if you're a podcaster, work in podcasting, or just someone who loves podcasts, you're going to want to listen up. I'm proud to announce that I've been working very hard behind the scenes on an incredible podcasting event in Toronto on June 6th, the Soundwave Summit 2024. And as a Sonar listener, you get 15% off on all tickets with the code SONAR15. An awesome group of podcast companies and creators have banded together to create a space for podcasters and fans to build community, share knowledge, and celebrate indie productions. There will be a ton of informative sessions all day, including talks from Canada Land, Vocal Fry, Black Canadian Creators, Lead Podcasting, and of course, from us, the Sonar Network. In the evening, there will be a showcase of live podcast recordings from Blacklantic, Squirrel Talk, and the Women of Ill Repute. And it's all emceed by the amazingly talented and Survivor-winningest host of Happy to See Me podcast, Erica Kostupinen. Join us for insightful workshops on podcasting, networking with industry pros, drinks, and overall amazing opportunities to meet and collaborate with like-minded podcast lovers. Come for the sessions in the day, the live podcast showcase at night, or better yet, come for the whole thing. Tickets are going fast, so get them now at thesoundwavesummit.com. And don't forget to use the code SONAR15 for 15% off all tickets. That's SONAR15. See you there.
Hi, it's me, Ben.
And it's me, Abba. And you're listening to Nostalgia. Aiden, you're back!
Aiden's back!
Oh my gosh.
Imagine I was like, I've been on vacation at Turks and Caicos this whole time. Oh
my god. I'd be like, I was right there with you, honey.
Canceled.
No, Aiden's back. This really feels like when Aiden's gone, it really does feel okay. Remember the movie Zathura?
No.
With Kristen Stewart.
What is that? Zathura.
It's like Jumanji, but in space.
Ooh.
Yes.
She turns into a monkey. Or her brother does?
I think, definitely,
no, that's
certainly something like
Never
that.
Mind.
So I'm sure there's some sort of like alien variation of that. Mm-hmm. I remember Kristen Stewart gets frozen, Aiden.
Okay.
And here's the thing. Kristen Stewart was kind of like, she was taking care of the children. And then she gets frozen.
Okay.
And then they're like, oh shit, what do we do? That to me is what happened when you were gone. I was like, Kristen Stewart is frozen.
Oh my God.
And now
I'm
you're
unfrozen.
Thawed.
I'm thawed.
Now you're thawed and you're back and you're glowing.
How does this reference track? That's so funny. I love it.
How old is this movie? I don't think I've seen it.
I don't know. It feels to me like it has to be like 2000.
How old is she?
Okay.
I think she was still a teenager. This was in Catch That Kid era.
Oh, yeah. I always forget that she's like a prominent child actor. Like she was acting for a long time.
Yeah.
Panic Room.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, that movie scared the shit out of me.
And you know what's so great
Scared
about that
Jared
movie
Leto.
Now? Scared Jared Leto.
Yeah. Jared Leto is the bad guy with cornrows.
Oh,
rightfully so.
Yeah.
Rightfully so.
He's,
he even had
but
the
that movie now, you watch Panic Room now and you see two generations of lesbians. Isn't that beautiful?
Yeah,
that
it's
is
gorgeous.
Beautiful.
Is this a long, gorgeous
lineage of lesbians.
A genealogy, if you will.
A genealogy of lesbians. It's truly beautiful.
Imagine getting your like ancestry.ca back from like the spit tube and being like, my mother was a lesbian and her mother was a lesbian and her mother's mother was a lesbian.
But my great-grandmother, she was bi. We don't count her.
Imagine. if there is a way, if there are any Silicon Valley freaks mm-hmm. listening who can make that happen, and I'm sure
no, stop right now. They'll use it for evil.
They will. Oh my god.
They'll use it for evil. Aiden's so serious.
It's so true. They will use it for evil.
Like, don't
they
give will. Them that idea.
Please, Aiden's scared for his life.
Wouldn't it be so fierce and fabulous to find out that, like, I don't know, you find out that, like, Mother Teresa was Pan. You know what I mean? It's like, of course.
Did you know that Mother Teresa is, like, evil?
Yeah.
Yeah,
she's a really bad person.
Yeah.
I just found that out semi-recently, and I was like...
Like, she thought that people with AIDS should die naturally. She's like, yeah, they deserve it or something. I don't know.
Not great. Mother Teresa, more like annoying, annoying Aunt Teresa.
Okay. Yeah.
Is she still alive?
No, she died.
She, okay.
When did she die?
Oh my God, look at me. I'm already putting stuff to work. I think she died in the 90s.
Oh,
what?
My God.
No, she didn't.
Mother Teresa?
No.
Teresa.
Wasn't, I think that like Princess Diana was at her deathbed. She died in 1997.
She died in 1997?
Yeah.
No, I swear she died.
You were
died
both
in...
little babies. Oh my God. Ben is Mother Teresa reincarnate.
I'm Mother Teresa reincarnated.
Yeah. Yeah.
I kind of am, unfortunately.
Oh my God. Why did I think she died in like 2015? Why did I think they showed her funeral on TV? Oh my God.
I mean,
but there are so, there are so many celebrities like that where I just like decide that they've died.
Yeah.
You just
well, I have the opposite where I forget who is alive.
Who's alive?
Like, I'll be like, they're still around. And then people will be like,
is Meatloaf still around? He died.
Yes. Right? Or did maybe Meatloaf died? That died seems like one that I was aware of.
Yeah.
Because of Twitter.
Okay, so I did just Google Meatloaf and Meatloaf.
Just Meatloaf.
No, Meatloaf is alive.
Okay, why did I think he died? You know, my mom once told me that Catherine O'Hara died, and I was like, we were watching Home Alone, and she points to Catherine O'Hara and's like, you know, she died. And I started crying hysterically for years, would watch this movie around Christmas time and just bawl and be like, I can't believe she didn't get to see her legacy. This movie is so good. And then, like, being 20 and, like, seeing an interview with her and being like, oh, wait, she's alive!
Your mom is so confused at her winning an Emmy award.
And Emmy, my mom's like, all white people look alike. I can't tell that she's not wrong.
She's not wrong. That's so funny.
It is so funny. You know who else is very funny?
Wow.
Can I guess?
You can guess.
Yeah, you guess.
Our guest.
Our very special guest. Oh, yes. He's great. You've definitely heard of him. You've seen him on TV. You may have seen him on Pretty Hard Cases.
Absolutely, CBC Because News, the Tony Ho podcast.
You've definitely heard of and him on the Tony Ho podcast. And you can even follow him on social media. What's his at, Ben?
Mig Rivas, that's MIGRIVAS. Whoa, I've never spelled anything in like months. I mean... Come on. Imagine I spelled it wrong. Follow him on social. Very funny. Yes. Truly Canadian comedy icon.
Iconic.
Sorry.
Legendary.
Legendary. Please welcome to the pod the very hilarious
Miguel Rivas. Yay.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. Sorry, Abba's mom. I am still alive. I'm not yet. Tell your kids whatever you want. I'm kicking it.
Suck on that, Mother Teresa.
My mom's name is Teresa. You know, wow.
I'm a better person than Mother Teresa. That's clear.
Oh, my God. So, Abba, you literally have a Mother Teresa.
I have a Mother Teresa. My mom's nothing like the real one. My mom thinks people with AIDS should get treatment and deserve it.
Of course.
Oh, my God.
If there's one thing you should know about my mother... She thinks people with AIDS deserve treatment.
Okay. My Mother Teresa is better than that Mother
Teresa. Exactly. She's better than the saint. Is she a saint? No, she's not.
Oh, I think she is.
People pushed her for sainthood.
People did, right?
I think that was a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then if you look at the criteria for sainthood, it's like, must have performed 5 provable miracles.
How do you even do that?
I don't know why, but I thought you were going to say 5 push-ups.
Yeah, it's like Navy SEAL training. You have to be like so fit to be a saint.
You have to be so strong.
Oh my God. I love that.
Oh, that's really fucking funny.
You sleep 3 hours a night for a week and you have to do all those crushing sit-ups
and push-ups. You have to drop you at the bottom of the ocean or whatever the fuck they do.
Hold your breath. Three more minutes.
If you really love God.
Do you really want to be a saint? Exactly. Do you really want to be a saint? Yes. Then eat this dirt.
It's fully Fear Factor at this point. Becoming a saint is a Fear Factor episode.
Oh my God. Oh, amazing. Well,
Jesus wouldn't turn down worms. Sorry.
Jesus would not. I fully believe that. Jesus would not turn down
protein.
Oh my.
Oh my God. Oh. Every time people talk about what Jesus would or would not eat. You know
she is a saint.
She is?
She is?
Yeah. What?
Wait.
Oh my God. And also, did you know that when you become a saint, they canonize you?
Mm-hmm.
Canon. That's what it's called.
Canon.
Be like,
she's canon.
She's canon.
She's canon.
She's canon. That's so strange. Oh my God, so that's insane.
All that Mother Teresa fanfic where she's not a saint, that's not
false.
Canon.
That's why it's
thick. Get that out of here.
That's why it's
thick. Sorry, Reddit. Yeah, that is so okay. Well, I mean,
okay, work, Mother Teresa. I guess you got what you wanted.
Good for her. But I guess that's winning the Miss
Congeniality. Two miracles attributed to Mother Teresa, according to Pope Francis.
What are the miracles?
No.
Healing a Brazilian man with multiple brain tumors in 2000 and wait, what? In 2008, but she died in 1997.
That's how I know. That's
a miracle.
That's
a miracle then.
That you are onto something.
This is time and space.
Yes.
Multiverse. This is multiversal.
Multiverse. It's in the Mother Teresa verse.
This is the Mother Teresa.
This is the Mother Teresa verse from all the different dimensions.
Oh my God.
Oh no, you're talking about Zack Snyder's Mother Teresa. That's a reboot.
4 hours. The full cut.
Actually 4 hours.
In black and white.
That is wild to be like. Imagine they're like, okay, we cured the brain cancer, and they're like, Mother Teresa did it.
not the doctors that performed the surgery to take out
the radiologists who studied for a decade are like, okay.
They're like, kind of the guy did this, but sure.
But sure. Yeah. Oh, man.
Oh, my God. So she's a saint for nothing then, for lies.
Mm.
Tomfoolery.
God's going to smite you. Jesus is going to smite you tonight.
What? None of us here have cured someone's brain tumor across time and space, so maybe we should
That's true.
I have to disagree. I have to fervently disagree with you. I think this podcast kind of seeks to do something similar in that, while it may not be in a medical sense healing tumors, we are cleansing brains.
You
we are cleansing.
Who are we? Who are we to drag Mother Teresa for healing a brain tumor? When we ourselves on this podcast constantly think that we can heal a man. She literally did something that is more possible than healing a man of his ailment of being a man.
It's true.
God. We can, honestly, Mother Teresa did she did something kind of easy in comparison.
The idea of Mother Teresa, this man's in a hospital bed and Mother Teresa walks in, she's like, I can fix him.
She's ultimate I can fix him culture. That's very funny. Oh man.
She got him a polo shirt.
I need to get a nice haircut.
Some pomade, his hair back.
Some pomade.
Mother back.
She enrolled him in therapy and then brain tumors gone.
She got him a health card.
Yeah.
Bought some vegetables for him. He has
5 years of back taxes covered.
Yes, yes, she got him a bed frame. Oh, she did.
Mother Teresa, so just say it.
Mother Teresa, come in a minute. You were fucking that man, weren't you, Mother Teresa? You were straight up fucking. You were fucking that man, and you. The reason why he got better is because he was getting laid, Mother Teresa.
She's like, please get the tumor removed, babe. Please.
Oh my God. This reimagining of Mother Teresa.
this is biblical.
So depraved.
That's why I wake up in the morning.
I think this
How far can we go? Let's say she had huge biceps as well.
I
thought you were going to say huge ass.
Huge boobs.
She was thick.
She was carrying a wagon.
She was baking a cake back then.
Imagine.
Oh my God, Mother
Teresa. She sends a bicep pic and then a tit pic and then an ass pic and calls it the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I'm sapping.
Yeah.
That is so funny. Oh my God, and Holy Spirit is spelled whole. Like ass. Yes. Like whole, you know what I mean?
Oh.
It's This is officially the final nail in the coffin. We're all going to hell.
Four of us have just pulled off a miracle, which means I think we qualify for sainthood.
That's right. We're about to be canonized.
Yes, canonized.
That would be so incredible. First vulture, then the Vatican.
First
congratulations on your vulture show.
They paint us over. They paint us over. It's like, you know the picture of like God and Adam touching? Or is it Jesus?
Yes. No, Adam. Adam, yeah.
It's one of them holding AirPods, the other one is holding an iPhone playing Nostalgic.
That's so stupid. I love that.
I don't recall that Mother Teresa ever showing up in the pages of Vulture.
Exactly. Right. She couldn't do that.
You said it. Miguel said
thank
it.
Thank you.
So, thank you. Oh, my God.
I'm excited for...
I was... People just say, I hate that woman. Like, what? Where did that come from?
I don't know.
Oh, my God. This is really interesting because yes. Sometimes, and Miguel, I hope you're comfortable with me saying this, mm-hmm. but mm-hmm. sometimes...
Oh, I want to say something after. Go.
I don't know what you're going to say, but I immediately said yes.
Oh, you could trust me always. Sometimes when we have a man of the straight, the heterosexual persuasion, there are automatically some reservations, kind of like, well, what are they going to bring? Like, what kind of music? You know what I mean? And I will say, I'd say like 99.9% of our straight male guests always shine in terms of what they bring and everything. It's always great. And Aiden prefaced what artist you'll introduce soon by being like, okay, well, I don't know. Like, he was kind of like waffling about it. But when Abba and I found out,
it was just keyboard
the group
smash.
Chat exploded. It was gibberish. Out. It was gibberish in the chat because we love this artist, Miguel.
Love this artist so much.
Really?
Listen, this so was like much. Okay. I have a so playlist. Much. I have a playlist that I made when I was 16. I was like, I'm gonna be in university soon. My life is changing so fast. I'm getting tits and hips. And
you're going full Mother Teresa.
I'm going full Mother Teresa. My ass is getting so fat. My biceps are huge. I was like, it was really coming of age for me. So I was listening to like a lot of Arcade Fire, a lot of the Strokes. And I have this playlist that I go to literally every week when I need comfort. And it's just like everything the Strokes did, like that first few years that they were like really good. I mean, we can get into that later. But I'm so happy that we finally get to talk about this. I've been waiting for someone to bring the Strokes onto the pod for so long.
I can't believe someone hasn't done it before.
Exactly. Can you please introduce... Well, I guess I said it. I ruined it by saying the Strokes.
Spoiler alert, ABBA ruined it. It's the Strokes. I chose the Strokes to talk about because, for me, they represent what this pod is about. Nostalgique is... I was 16 when the Strokes like kind of came out and emerged, and I hated high school so much, like many of us. Mm-hmm. And I went to high school in like the suburbs of Toronto, out in Durham, actually. Mm. I moved all over the place. But by the time I was in high school, I was in Whitby.
Oh, wow.
And Whitby, sorry, any Whitby listeners out there, is dirt tracks.
No, drag Whitby, drag them.
And I didn't belong there. Real Mother Teresa of a town. And,
and, real Mother Teresa.
And the Strokes felt like a window into... something that wasn't available around there, which was like coolness.
Yes.
Oh, cool.
And
yeah.
I think now maybe like really young people, like preteens, would look at it now and be like, that's not cool.
Yes.
But for me, it was the coolest thing imaginable. And I started to dress like them and have a hair like them. And, you know, I saw them live a bunch of times. And like, I preached the gospel of the Strokes for years.
Yes.
And even when I was in like university and, you know, you get to university and you start like exchanging music with people and stuff, I would be like, okay, so. Best albums of all time. Top two is The Strokes.
Yes.
And then we can talk about what's at number three.
Yeah.
Like, I was so beyond. Yes. And my whole friend group was like absolutely everything with The Strokes.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe the intro's not the part to do this, but let me tell you how I discovered
it. Yes, this is
perfect.
Yes, go off.
I've been obsessed with music like to a severe degree my entire life. Mm-hmm. But I went in and out of different phases, but I wasn't sure what was for me in high school.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there was nothing that spoke to me, really. I didn't belong to any scene or, you know, I mostly was into gangster rap before that. And by the time I went to Whitby, which I was bused to for French immersion, it was all white people. Like, I was considered very much not white when I was there, even though I'm clearly white passing. Because because my name's Miguel and I'm half Latino. Everyone's like, it was like, people would be like, do you speak English? Like, literally, Whitby was nicknamed White Bee and it was all pop punk.
Mm-hmm.
So I really tried pop punk. Yeah. I went to the Warp Tour. I did all that stuff, but I didn't like it. I just didn't like it.
Mm-hmm.
So I was at, Miguel, circa age 16, I met Snow Job, if anybody remembers that series of concerts put on by Much Music.
Yeah.
And I'm leaving, I'm walking away from the middle of the Simple Plan set because I'm like, this is sucks. Trash. Can we swear on this pod? Because it was shit.
Oh, yeah, you can swear as much as you want.
Ass shit. I was like, this is garbage. So I'm walking away being like, what am I doing? And I literally looked down on the ground and there was a promotional sticker for the Strokes.
Oh my God.
Like their original image. And I was like, that's the coolest sticker and name I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. And that was it. I went home. I went on Napster, which was new at the time.
Mm-hmm. Hell yeah.
And I downloaded their EP. Mm-hmm. That was it. End of the story. Mm-hmm. Literally found a sticker
and
became an obsessive, to this day, sort of.
That's the coolest, like... That's the coolest intro we've ever had for a band, because every guest that we have is kind of like, well, I heard them on the radio a bunch, and then one day I finally sat down and listened to them. But that is so, like, that's a scene from, like, an indie movie. Like, that was a scene from Nick and Nora's Infinite Playlist.
It was a sticker that, like, showed me that you don't belong at Snow Job watching Simple Plan.
No.
Yes.
And clearly the person who that sticker belonged to also... They didn't belong there either because they left in such a hurry that it fell like a la Cinderella.
In the dirt.
But I love that you're drawn to the iconography first because like they really do have such strong like iconography. Like their albums do like stand out as such a strong like each of them like very strong aesthetic for both of them.
Yes.
Sorry, Abba, I cut you off.
No. I was gonna say like you're speaking to something that I agree to and also past guests. Have like talked about like Jordan when he did our episode, we were talking about like how we were music snobs in high school, and it's because like we were dirt poor and like like had a shitty family dynamic, so it was like the thing that you cling to is the thing that's gonna that helps you imagine the kind of life that you can live, how you can get out of like these small towns, get out of Brampton, like stuff like that. And the Strokes was that for me. Like I remember journaling in high school and being like, one day I'm gonna live in an apartment in Toronto and like is like playing in the background, like there's mood lighting on, and I'm like my life is gonna be like 13 going on 30, like they help me imagine this cool life. So I'm happy that you're speaking to that.
I'm gonna wash my jeans only once every 2 weeks.
Why was that such a trope also from like the early 2000s, people being like, you shouldn't wash your jeans more than once a month.
Well, the Strokes, I remember, I used to like gobble up anything I could get about them. And there was like a Rolling Stones thing where it was like, and so I met up for Julian for part two of our interview. Julian Casablancas, the lead singer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I met up with Julian 7 days later, and he had the same jeans and shirt, but he swore to me that he changed his underwear.
Oh my God.
This is in a Rolling Stone article. And I was like, that's fucking cool.
It's literally the hottest shit I've ever heard.
As a Virgo, so... I'm disgusted. I'm like, please, laundry, please.
Ugh. But that, to me, they were so emblematic of that cool guy thing of just like greasy hair, like just like nothing shirt, like skinny jeans, like messy, and like it just all works.
It all worked.
You know, you think of the aesthetic they were like competing against in, you know, when rock and roll was like still sort of dominant, but like dying.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And we were coming out of like Limp Bizkit and new metal, like Limp Bizkit, Stained, Stained, Disturbed, and like I can't even think of all those awful new metal bands, but their whole aesthetic was just gross,
very
baggy,
but
not in a cool way. And then the Strokes were like, they looked like they had chosen their image before they wrote a song.
Exactly. Yes. Like, their aesthetic had a hold over Tumblr. Like, if you were talking cool bands, it was like, all I ever saw were leather jackets, striped tees, that horrible, like, signature Julian Casablancas, like, messy hair. Like, I feel like they really put, like, their mark on that before it got popular in the later part of the early aughts.
You're talking about my hair for a decade.
Oh, God.
I was going to say. But it's kind of like you saying that you decided to like model the way you looked after them is kind of like, it is a little timeless. Mm-hmm. Like if you look at the way they dress, like they're pretty 60s other than their pants. Yeah. And then like it still like persevered, like it kind of, I guess, a little bit. You can see like the beginning of normcore in the way that they dress.
Okay, that's what I was going to say. That's why I like them so much also. Because in high school, I was like, I'm straight edge. I don't drink. I don't smoke. That was like grade 9. And then everything left.
I love that.
But that's why they felt so accessible to me. I was like, because I was also listening to pop punk and a lot of emo stuff. And I was like, I don't want to be seen, like be a scene kid. Because that's a lot of commitment that my parents would be like, just dragging me for, being like, you're the devil. Why is your hair red?
You're not getting spacers.
You're not getting spacers. Oh, them no, being God. Like, we're not from Kenya. You don't need to stretch your ears. They think it's just like a cultural thing. They wouldn't understand that it's like a part of Sikh culture. So like the Strokes just felt so accessible in terms of aesthetic. And it felt like that lo-fi kind of like, it. Listening to the Strokes for me, it felt like just hanging out in a friend's garage. Like, it all felt cool because it was so accessible.
It felt like the start of, like, a whole new movement. I remember just thinking music, like, most music sucked at the time. Mm-hmm. And then it was, like, what dropped was, like, the Strokes, the White Stripes, and the Hives at the same time. Yeah. And it was like, whoa, this is what music is going to sound like now. Yes. And it's actually good and a bit timeless, and it's cool. And I started just going to those concerts, like, all the time. Mm-hmm. And, even, like, took that approach to sort of comedy and stuff. I remember when I started doing comedy with a sketch troupe called Frenzy, which may as well not have existed now. But it was me and my brother Freddie. Aww.
Shout out to Freddie.
Shout out to Freddie. And actually Alana Johnston, if anybody knows her.
Oh, shout out to Alana. Canadian.
And a couple other people. And we kind of like looked like the Strokes of comedy to the point where in one of our first shows, we got burned on stage by Deb DiGiovanni. Who was doing stand up, and she was like, this show's weird. I mean, you got the Strokes sitting over here.
Oh my God. That's
and everyone scary. Laughed at us, but we were like, cool.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Exactly.
Oh, but, Miguel, if someone made that comparison to me in high school, it would have been over. Right. Like, my head would have exploded.
Yes.
That's all
it
I
did.
Want.
I felt cool.
And
yeah.
I have this joke that I do when I'm doing stand up where I'm like, I look and sound like I have a white boyfriend, but jokes on you, I have no boyfriend. And the button sometimes, if like people aren't laughing, is like, I'll be like, I look like I know every single Stroke song, because they're very white, but like cool white, like they eat pad Thai Indian food, and maybe one of them has like a Chinese girlfriend, like they're.
Oh my God!
I love that. I love that the criteria for cool white person is eating Thai food.
I eat Thai food.
I like that the threshold is eating pad Thai.
Yes.
Eating pad Thai.
The like that's most common kind of Thai
food. Yeah, the most like whiteified ethnic food available.
Literally.
Like that would be on like the menu of a restaurant that's not a Thai restaurant.
Yeah.
We got burgers, ice cream, and ketchup pad Thai.
Ketchup pad. Oh, I remember that joke. I truly am this sounds wild to say, but I remember you doing that joke and being like, like my ears like perking up at the Strokes. Like, I live to hear a Strokes reference.
They're cool.
Like, and also that's such a specific example for like a very certain type of like whatever hipster boy.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
I love that. He truly, like you said, Abba, listening to the Strokes, it really felt like that was one of the first type of artists that it was like, I would have like a special relationship with them, where it's like you listen to them like alone in your room or while you're going for a walk, and it feels very like, it's like, oh my God, like I love, and I still to this day will listen to the song a lot, is the I'll Try Anything Once, but the live version. Of course, the iconic, it was in Sofia Coppola's film somewhere, like very that, but that song to me defined like the entirety of like grade 10.
True. I remember like that song specifically and other songs like from that era being like, because they had their first two albums and it was pretty much hit after hit, sort of. I'm not sure how many they actually sold or if they were just like critical
really pop,
darlings or whatever. Because they were there when they started when everyone decided to not buy music anymore.
Yeah.
And I remember when that song came out, it was like, well, this song will be a hit, was in my head. And that it wasn't a large hit or anything from that album was a large hit.
Yeah.
Like, really large, I mean. Mm-hmm. I just remember being like, oh, pop music sucks and they don't get it. You know, well, I remember, like, associating that song with that, oddly.
Yeah, I think that's really interesting. Like, it's so... Now looking back, I mean, independent music was going through, like, such an interesting, like, I guess, like, coming of age. Like, in the early 2000s, which, like, I was not aware. I was listening to Lizzie McGuire. Like, I was not, I wasn't aware of the Strokes yet. But when they came out, it was the early 2000s. And, like, they really, like, defined this aesthetic and sound for them. And I think that people who are fans of them are like, oh, my God, this is the biggest thing ever. And then there's everyone outside of it. Like, they are critical darlings. Like, critical magazines love them, or not critical. I'm not like JSTOR magazines. I mean, like,
Pitchfork.
But it reminds me of how big their fandom is. Also, like, I was a part of Fangirl Tumblr, And I had a Tumblr dedicated to the Strokes Vampire Weekend.
Oh yes! Yes, Abba, that is the holy trifecta. That is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That is
the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit.
MGMT Vampire Weekend. Oh my God.
I remember being such a Strokes fan that when Vampire Weekend came out, it was like knockoff Strokes.
Yes.
Oh, that's Vampire Weekend. And if we're talking about modeling, like one's personal style after a group, the Vampire Weekend, when I saw those like cute little pastel sweaters and little shirts and a little maybe a little button, I went off. Like that's all I ever wanted to dress like.
Their music was great, but you know what they looked like to me was the whiter version of the Strokes, which sounds hilarious. The Strokes were like, you know, a little bit olive skin. I think they're like part Armenian.
Yes.
Like they're not quite like waspy.
Yes.
Kardashian.
So to me, I honestly identified with a little bit of that tiny race ambiguity at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't look like Fred Durst or whatever. You know what I mean? And then Vampire Weekend felt like a cleaned up version of the Strokes with even like tighter songs.
Yes.
And I was like, man.
So
and
funny.
I think, are they from New York too?
They're from New York.
Yeah, I think they all like met at like Columbia. Or
yeah,
something.
They all met in university. That's the thing about the Strokes and Vampire Weekend. They're such university bands.
Oh, totally.
Oh, God. Yeah. It's so funny. It's like.
So the Strokes for me is also like, they have so many like, not only was it for comedy for me and everything, but my main like comedic partner and writing partner since I was 19 years old is Roger Bainbridge, who's still in Tony Ho with me.
Shout out to Roger.
And shout out to Roger Bainbridge. Mm-hmm. And we both went to U of T Mississauga to study acting, which was a nightmare.
Oh my God, I went to U of T St. George for acting as well. Boo.
Okay, but that's we looked up to you.
No, boo.
So Mississauga campus. Mississauga campus was literally in the woods.
Oh, yeah.
So we were both out there trapped.
That is very theater, though, I will say. It's, like, I feel like an acting school has to be, like, don't go in the forest.
Don't go in any of the several forests that surround this campus.
Yeah.
But so we met, and the Strokes' second album came out when I was in first year university.
Mm.
And, like, we were both miserable, but we were like, we both like this. Lifelong friends, literally.
Oh, yeah. Totally.
Yeah.
Like, and still, and then it's so funny to think how emotionally attached to the early Strokes thing.
I don't blame you at all. It was this thing where, like, I felt like they were, like, the type of people that I wanted to be, which is so sad and so beautiful and adorable at the same time. Like,
the type of people I wanted to meet.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. They were so cool to me. And being a part of that fandom was, like, such, like, everyone was so obsessed with their personalities at that time. And so I remember there'd be, like, these sayings that would go viral on, like, Tumblr. It would be like, what about little Fabrizio? And Fabrizio's a member of the band who, in their tour documentary, had to leave early because he had to take care of his kid or something. And so people, like, would grab these, like, little quotes and, like, these little isms of the Strokes and really hold on dearly to them. And I think I kind of got into university and was like, this is, like, an insular thing that I'll love for myself and never really talk about out loud. But, you know, every once in a while, I'll walk around and just go, what about little Fabrizio? Like, there's such a kindredness to those
things.
Now
I'm
going to
say that.
Yeah.
That's fun to say.
I knew all their complicated names and, like, what they were like, and I knew all their history. I really, like, looked up to them like a new Beatles.
Yes.
Even though it didn't pan out that way. But if you think about when they came out, so not only did they come when Napster just arrived and record, like, sales died, but they also put out their first album on September 11th, 2001.
Yes, they did.
No. So they had all this hype building throughout 2000, 2001 early, and it was, like, the lead up to this, oh, man, they're going to drop the debut, and it's going to change music. They're the next, you know, Nirvana or whatever. They're going to be the thing.
Mm-hmm.
And the album comes out on September 11th, and the song number 9 on the album is called New York City Cops, which I don't know how familiar you guys are with that song. The chorus is New York City Cops, They Ain't Too Smart, and it's repeated many times. And it was like just a song burning New York City police officers for hassling, I don't know, like, hipsters, I guess. It wasn't even like a deep critique of policing. It was just like, fucking cops.
They won't let me drink on the street. Basically. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. They took my smokes.
Yeah.
And they had to pull all the albums from across the world. They pulled every copy of the album and replaced it with a shittier song, which I think was Trying Your Luck.
Like Trying Your Luck. I hate that song. Oh, my God.
It sucks.
Dana, boo. The way it starts sucks.
New York City Cops was like the one that was like their live staple. Mm-hmm. And they had to like abandon it because at that time, everything that was even remotely related to a critique of America or cops or fire, anything was like evil.
It was evil. So
so it like sunk the chances of that really selling really well physically. They were still critical darlings, but it was weird.
That's such an interesting point to make. Oh my God, this really puts things into perspective politically, because America did experience that really like hard shift towards the right, where it was like after 9/11 happens, and it's like there's this praise of law enforcement. There's this praise of like, it was like America's big tragedy.
Yeah,
and they loved Giuliani.
Yes, they loved Giuliani at the time, and it really—that's when everything became so narc. And if you even think about it, like the shows that were on TV completely changed a few years after 9/11. Mm-hmm. Like everything culturally, especially in music, really did shift.
Yeah.
And so I think it's so interesting that The Strokes came out in this time that felt so like, I don't know, like outlandish. Like America was still like cool a bit.
I don't know.
I think it's really. Really interesting, but
that is wild.
I'm curious.
That's so funny, Abba, that you're saying, because you're right. I'm just trying to, I'm looking up a couple of facts just before I like start talking shit.
No, because I'm just thinking about like, you know, like shows like
Law and Order SVU and CSI both started like right before 9/11.
There right you before go. 9/11. Oh so God. Like, and then there was also this thing of like during that time, like black TV shows started to dwindle. Like everything became about racial ambiguity and like togetherness. Like representing diversity as this thing of like, we're all Americans, and not being like, just many people need to live in this same country because we fucked up their country.
Yeah.
You know?
They're like, you're right. We're all the same vibe.
Exactly.
I was literally just going to say, everyone had to be the same. There was no like individual.
I feel like, they were obsessed with being like, oh, here's a person of color, but not the type of person of color you think. And it's like, oh, it's just because a white person like wrote this character.
Exactly. Oh, is that a person of color? I don't see color.
I don't see color. Exactly.
Oh, man. My God.
But remember, Britney Spears was like, I support my president. It's like also part of that. you had to, as a pop star, be like, I love George Bush.
Well, I mean, lest we forget what happened to the chicks when like they literally
Oh my god, that was like right around then.
Oh my god,
that
was true.
I'm not ready to make nice. I'm not ready to back
and
down because I'm mad as hell.
That was really
cool.
Number of times I've almost crashed my car because I've been scream singing, not ready to make nice.
That is so Aiden.
No, I love because I'll also like scream, like cry, sing to that song, and it's so funny because like the internal narrative I'm having is not the one they had, where it's like a deeply like politically wrought, like people sending them death threats, and I'm like, a boy didn't message me
my
back on the hand.
My ex-boyfriend's mom sent me a death threat. Yeah.
Well, that does sound serious.
Because she's like, Natalie, or I think is her name, is like quite difficult to sing along with, so I'm like, gotta close my eyes to hit this note.
She's going all the way up there. Okay.
Yeah. Foot to the ground, just like steering wheel.
That is so fucking funny.
I like the idea of you, like, every time that song comes on, you literally pull over.
Yes.
So you can be safe.
It's so funny because, Aiden, I've seen you drive, but I can never picture gay people driving. Even imagining it, I'm like, I picture like a pink punch buggy. Like, I just can't, I don't see a real car or road.
You like never see me drive. I just like disappear from one place and reappear somewhere else.
Ain't it? Looking around.
Oh God, oh I really love gay futurism. Just being like, gay people are so incapable of doing like these cis hetero things that they have to
gay
do something
people
fantastic.
Need to be driven around.
Yes.
I think,
or exactly.
Like, carried around like Cleopatra.
Yes.
Like, Miguel. Exactly.
Oh,
that's an idea.
On a bed set on pipes? Is that how that works?
Yeah, yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Shaves.
And straight allies can volunteer to take shifts to kind of like.
I'll carry Aiden so he can sing Dixie Chicks.
Instead of that shaves, I would want to be, you know, when they have the like pole bearers carry a coffin, and then I would pop out like, surprise!
I'm not dead.
Oh, he's a goth too.
Yeah. Drama.
Oh, big time man. Goth. So that's nice. I feel like I really, really identify with their first album, Is This It? Which is so interesting because I don't know why, when I was listening to that album in 2007, 2008, I thought it had come out that year. It wasn't until like a few years after where I was like, wait, this shit came out like a decade ago. And it really speaks to like their endurance, like, cool kids in the early 2000s were like, this is our shit. And then 10 years later, a new group of cool kids were like, oh, no, this is our manifesto. Go ahead. What were you going to say?
I was going to say that they had like, they put out those first two albums and everyone thought they were like the second coming of Jesus or whatever. And then I think they, if they had done like a Ramones style thing where they just put out the same album over and over again, people would have been more happy with them, but they started like venturing out into like weirder stuff. And I feel like they kind of lost the cool luster for a while there. I remember looking back like early, like 2011, 2012 and being like, oh wow, are they now the opposite of what started? They're not cool. They're like my generation's Bon Jovi. Like, well, cool at the time and not outside of that time at all.
Well, when Julian made those comments about being like, I love the Police or whatever, everyone was like, shut up, you old hipster. But I feel like, I don't know, I feel like they were still cool in terms of sound at least. But I'm curious to know what your favorite Strokes album is.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like I would say Room on Fire, the second one, because of like, it felt like, okay, so Is This It came out and it was like life defining. This is the greatest. Mm-hmm. And then when Room on Fire came out, the second album, it was just that, but better. It was like better music and them still going like upwards in trajectory in terms of fame, esteem, coolness, songwriting. So it felt like the promise of a long career of total perfection, which they didn't really deliver.
No.
But I remember in that moment thinking that they were the greatest band I would ever
listen to. Yeah.
So for me, Room on Fire, but I love them both severely, and they're both, the best thing about them, they're both like 29 minutes in and out.
Yes, that's what I love. So that's like, what I miss about that era of like hipster rock music. It's that every song was like, and it was done. Like, just 2 minutes of like a guy being loud and drunk. Like, I mean, their 12 music songs video for 12 last
songs
night.
Max.
Exactly, yeah, 12 songs max.
Not a lot. And max. Oh my god, yes. Max. But truly, okay. But how do we feel about, because I kind of like their new album that came out.
I haven't listened.
I think it's pretty good. I think
you haven't
really
listened?
I haven't listened to new music. I'm so bad.
Here's the thing, ABBA, when it came out, because like, I feel like so many bands that I used to listen to like in high school and stuff, when they come out with new music now, it feels like they're kind of just on the tail end of these like production trends that like, it feels very kind of like, I don't know, like, older person trying to keep up or whatever. And
like Coldplay. Every Coldplay song, you're like, what are you guys
doing? They're like, we love India. This is our new
When I listen to Coldplay, I'm like, and what genre do you think you are?
Exactly. Oh my God. Exactly.
Like, and the Grammy for best elevator music goes to
Coldplay. They used to make such good music, and that's why I'm always like wary of listening to an old band's newer stuff, because I'm afraid that I'm gonna be like, look at these fucking old guys. And I'm not gonna lie, you guys, I'm looking at this album artwork and it is so 2012.
That's the thing, and ABBA, that's what I was gonna say, is this album, it does not feel, it feels just like a good Strokes album.
It looks like they still haven't changed their jeans.
Exactly. Exactly.
But they swear to God that underwear is
clean. It's so clean.
Oh my God.
That album, Ben, won the Grammy for best rock album.
Oh, it was really?
I really like, there's some good, I mean, I'm naming kind of like the more popular songs. I haven't listened to the album in a while, but like Bad Decisions, The Parents.
That's a great song.
Great song. Bad Decisions really harkens back to like that feels like a quintessential Strokes song. Like The Parents Are Talking, I think, or The Adults Are Talking is another song I like.
Mm-hmm. And they had like a scary music video that was actually kind of cool too.
Ooh. Oh, I haven't seen song?
They're all like plastic mannequins and their faces all melt. It was pretty
See, and that to me, I'm like, that is a 2011 premise. You know what I mean? Like, that is perfect.
It's so interesting. Perfect. I love that you say that it sounds like a good Strokes album, because that's all I'd ever want a band like the Strokes to give me at this point. Like, even with Arctic Monkeys, their new, like, more refined, like, cooler music that they put out in, like, what was it, like, 2016? What was their last album that was AM? AM before that Hotel album or whatever. That felt like, okay, they're making money now. They're giving us chic. But listening to that album, I was like, bleh! I was like, this is
You're pissed off.
I literally threw a pen at the phone.
Launched a pen.
I was like, this is the last time I'm going to listen to the Arctic Monkeys, because they've changed so much. I'm wishing them a farewell. I don't hate them. But
I'm wishing them a farewell.
Yeah.
Wishing them a farewell.
So I'm happy.
Is this...
What?
Sorry, I was just going to... Is AM the one that you hate, or Tranquility Base Hotel and Casino?
Tranquility Base Hotel and Casino. Like, now they're just talking about places that they go to.
Yeah, right. Like, I don't like that title.
Yeah,
that's really kind of jumping the shark on that one.
Yeah. I sometimes have a hard time, like, it sucks because you can't really hold it against an artist of any kind for this, and I notice it a lot with TV, but you know when there's, like, season one and season two when it's, like, critically acclaimed? I'm specifically thinking of Broad City,
mm-hmm.
and then season three, I saw them, and I was like, you guys look fucking rich now.
Yeah.
Like, you have rich woman hair.
Yeah.
Which is so hard, so and they're like, uh-oh, better go sell bagels for $1.25 an hour.
Yeah. This is so random, and Miguel, I'm so sorry to interrupt you to literally say, tell a nothing story, but my dad's coworker casually emailed saying that they listened to the pod to my dad, which is great. Oh, shout out to whoever that coworker is. But then literally get this. The email was like, yeah, like, I'm not very into comedy, but my husband's niece or something, I think that's the connection. My husband's niece is Abby Jacobson. Has your son heard of her? I was
Yeah, we might have heard.
That is stupid.
Oh, no, and no, this is what she said. She's like, I think she co-produced a TV show called Broad City. Not even like it was like, she's a star of Broad City. Like, hey, yeah, she co-produced it. I, like, my dad sent me the email, was like, LOL. And I was like, okay.
So are you telling us that Abby Jacobson listens? Is that what you just said?
No,
I mean, I think that's clear as day that Abby listens. Yeah,
she listens, and she loves
one of Abby's
That's
relatives.
Canonical.
Yeah. No, canonical. We're saints.
We're saints.
We're saints. We're saints.
Our asses
are
getting bigger as we speak.
Wait a minute, that qualifies as the second miracle. You got Abby to listen to the pod, right?
Oh,
we're official saints. Yay, we did it.
Thank you, Miguel.
You just need two, it turns out.
So you're kind of like the Pope. You're a bit of an adjudicator in this sense.
Yeah, I'm really just laying down who gets to be a saint and who doesn't.
Pope Francis, that is so funny.
Pope Francis, get out of here!
Oh my God!
But to go back to the Strokes, I feel like they, like, as we talked about, they really influenced, like, our friend groups. Like, I obviously,
definitely.
Yeah, like, you. Not only did I want to be friends with people who listen to the Strokes, but I was like, I want to be friends with people who look like they listen to the Strokes. I want us to walk down the street and people go like, Stroke fans.
Yeah.
You know, like really, really corny shit like that. But they
it's
also...
like, can this become an aesthetic?
Exactly. But it kind of did, and it really influenced the kind of shit that I started watching, because I like the Strokes so much, I started watching a lot of indie movies. And I want to know if the Strokes, like, influenced, like, did they give you your, like, career, that kind of trajectory where you're, like...
I love that question. That's such a cool... I love that.
Your, like, aesthetic career, we'll call it. Like, did they influence the type of culture that you took in?
I definitely think so. Like, they definitely led me to a bunch of other... directly to it. There's no, like, other part of the line that led me to certain music groups from the past that they idolized, like Television.
Mm-hmm.
But in terms of movies, it felt like concurrent with like Spike Jonze and also Sofia Coppola as well.
Yeah.
I know Anywhere was used later or Somewhere used some of the music later, but Lost in Translation was around that time. And I just like, in my mind, that's all like washed together.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like getting into cool things. And also like that's when I started getting into the Velvet Underground.
Yes.
Who are like, you know, Strokes precursors.
Yes.
So it was, it felt like whatever they said was cool, then that's what I was going to like.
Yeah.
So there's no like, trying to make it make sense. Like it was directly, I was taking orders from them in terms of what to watch and listen to and how to dress and how to cut my hair.
And
they drank Heineken. So I drank Heineken.
Yes.
Like, literally. I literally modeled myself after them.
Oh my God.
Even like doing sketch comedy was like, they're a five piece. We're going to be a five piece.
Oh my
like,
God.
I swear to God, it was that
That's
direct.
My next question.
I was that, I didn't even put more thought into it than that.
That's so that, Go ahead,
Abba, I was just gonna say that's such a cool, because it's so true that music like definitely helps like inform other like types of media we consume, because like if there's like a cool song in a movie trailer, I'm automatically gonna have like a good or like a cool feeling towards that movie. And like I just realized, and Miguel, this is true galaxy brain of what you're saying, of like the marriage between like film and music is truly literal in some senses, where like Sofia Coppola is literally like married to the lead singer of the lead guy of Phoenix. Phoenix will like make Phoenix makes music for like Sofia Coppola's new movie On the Rocks, and you're like that song. It's like I kind of that type of music, that type of indie music. Totally, I feel like if that didn't exist, the indie movies that like I kind of grew up watching, and by grew up I mean like I still watch now, like I feel like they wouldn't even exist because the music is such a vital part of the storytelling. I think
you know what else it was too is like. You know how people, there's so many doomsday people all the time who are like, the world is going to end soon. I feel like that's a philosophical thing where people want the time that they're alive to matter. You know, they don't want it to be like only studying history or thinking about the future. They want it to be like, right now is the thing. And so I think like artistically, The Strokes was that for me coming of age at like between, you know, 16 and 21 or whatever. It was like this. I'm going to be part of a musical movement and an artistic movement that will make, you know, new genres and everyone will talk about for years and years and years. So like I wanted to will that to happen. So it was it was the music, it was the movies, it was art, it was everything. Even like, but earlier than The Strokes, I was obsessed with Sloan.
Young.
11, 12, 13. Like obsessed.
Of course.
Then I kind of grew out of it. And now I love Sloan as much as I ever did, but I kind of grew out of it being like, I need something younger and whatever.
Yes. Yeah.
But then The Strokes, when they came through Toronto, they had Sloan play with them.
Oh.
So it felt like this vindication of my taste.
You're like, no, they are cool.
Personal taste.
Yeah.
I love that. I love that because, like, The Strokes definitely influenced how, like, I wanted to be. But also, like, the type of life that I wanted to live. They felt like the city. They felt like this very they felt hedonistic. Like, I've always been obsessed with hedonism. It was the type of thing where, like, when my parents weren't at home, I'd, like, I'd eat a bunch of snacks and drink alcohol and listen to music and just, like, be irresponsible. And they felt like that for me. And they made me, like, imagine a world where, like, I'm a little artist and I'm walking down the street. I'm going to the grocery store and I'm getting one baguette. And I'm getting a bottle of wine. And I'm eating the baguette in my little living room that I have in my tiny little shitty apartment, because that's cool. It's cool to have a tiny little shitty apartment.
I hung on all the things they did for life, like not changing your clothes too much. And like they also just, it was so much arbitrary stuff, but they refused to do music videos.
Yes.
Because they're so fake.
Yeah.
So then they when they did Last Night, which was like the song that sort of like really popularized them, they were like, yeah, we'll do a video for Last Night, but we have to play the song live in the video.
And
that
has to be
the audio, not the album.
Exactly.
And we have to be drunk.
Yeah.
So I was like, I'm taking that to heart in every way. That was a huge part of it.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's cool. I like that.
And I was just going to say, I'm looking at the album cover for Tony Ho's, Residuals album. It's very, like, even, like, you can even see the influence in that. Like, it
definitely,
they influence the way I watched comedy. Like, I wasn't like, you know, everyone who liked The Strokes on Tumblr also liked, like, fucking Adventure Time and the Eric Andre Show. So it was like, if you like this, you have to like that. And it's true. Crazy.
And for me, it was Mr. Show also. Yes. Because David Cross was like a scenester in New York City at the time. And he hung out with The Strokes. Like he was their friend. And they idolized him. So then that was me, like, direct line to Mr. Show. Yeah. Which I still, like, love to this day, sort in parts, anyways.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Except one of the guys from Mr. Show stormed the Capitol, I think?
No!
Yes, Jay Johnston.
I'm not surprised.
One of, like, bit players, but who was in, like, some of the funniest sketches. Turns out he stormed the Capitol.
Honestly, you could tell me any white guy has stormed the Capitol. I'm like, yeah. If you told me Freddie stormed the Capitol, I'd be like, he snapped,
Freddie's half Latino. There's no way he was there.
There were black people there.
I know, I was like, Miguel, we can't pretend that there aren't a bunch of Trumptinos out there.
No, there's
plenty of Trumptinos.
Every time you see a white supremacist group, there's always one or two Latino people pushed to the front. Yeah. They're like,
we're diverse.
And they're so happy
to be
there.
How does this make sense?
The idea of a white supremacy group also having, like, diversity, like...
A diversity quota,
to be like, we also find it's important to have someone on the board who is not white.
No, yeah,
they're hateful rhetoric.
Group is like, we're having Taco Tuesday.
I was gonna say, like, now they have like a Spanish section on their website, and it's like, we we gotta build that wall, but it's in Spanish.
Oh, Blanco.
Oh my god. As we're coming to the end here, I know that like the Strokes, they're not a band known for turning looks. But as we know, they have because they have such a defined like normcore aesthetic. Till this day, if I see a man who's dressed any way, shape, or form like Fabrizio, I'm immediately like, husband. I'll marry that man. I'll marry that man. But so I want to know like, because we can't really be like, what's an outfit that you like from the Strokes? I want you to describe your quintessential Strokes outfit. Not that you want them to wear, but that you would wear.
It's you as a paper doll.
Yeah. Oh,
I love that.
Okay, so first of all, because of quarantine, mm-hmm. I sort of have my old hair back. So I kind of have Strokes hair.
Like, oh my god.
This is a hair reveal.
Oh, yeah, it looks good. This works for you.
Oh,
yeah, this
my
is working.
God.
This is working.
This is I haven't cut my hair in so long. So
it doesn't look scruffy or bad.
This is what
bad.
I used to look
or
like all the time. Like...
Oh my god, so literally, you became a teenager just then. And listeners should know, Miguel now has floppy, mm-hmm. floppy hair. There's bangs. There's
he's giving us Timothée Chalamet.
Yeah. My hair is about the same length right now. I can't do a hair reveal because it's so greasy that if I took it out, it would just be glued flat. To my hat. It would just be flat. It would be so gross.
I'm trying to hide much under here. But,
that's a good
probably...
bang length.
I would probably wear a very, very tight, too small for me t-shirt.
Nice.
Yeah.
Either, I remember the shirts that I had were either like very, very indie bands, mm-hmm. like Clap Your Hands, Say Yeah.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
I used to wear that shirt all the time. So yeah. Probably my Clap Your Hands, Say Yeah. I'm definitely an L bordering on XL for t-shirts, but this was definitely a medium. Definitely a medium.
Yeah. Yes.
Tucked definitely. In. And the jeans were skin tight with probably the hint of a knee rip, but it's not there. And then I would wear Converse.
Oh,
it has
God.
To be Converse.
You,
if there's something
you just
iconic,
it's
Converse.
You just described that's me cool. on a civvies day at my Catholic high school in 2009. Oh my God. Shirt tucked in. Yeah, it's far too fucking small.
Abba, what's your paper doll outfit for the Strokes?
So because I was a girl in high school...
Abba's rubbing their hands together.
Here we go.
Birdman style. I feel like the Strokes aesthetic for girls was adjacent to the Zooey Deschanel aesthetic of like twee, like ukulele, like welcome to my kitchen. And like it was like, you know, the A-line skirt.
Yeah, yeah.
But like with an A-line skirt, very short with like tights. A sweater oversized.
Ooh.
So I can pull it up, you know, so you pull up the sleeves and you're like, mm, I'm cute. A little and collar. Like,
let's get a hot
I'm cold.
Let's get a hot
The thumb holes?
Yes.
Oh, yes.
And then it would be like a canvas bag with like a two-door cinema club on it. And,
oh my God.
We would have like been, if beanie. You... We would have been best friends in high
school.
And
red lipstick. Red lipstick,
If I saw you with that two-door cinema club tote, I would have like grabbed you by the wrist. And
best friends.
Yes. I would have like made you smoke cigarettes. I'd be like,
I never got into smoking cigarettes. I definitely got huge into smoking weed.
Hell yeah.
But the Strokes were all about smoking cigarettes.
Yeah.
And that was one
I
bridge
started.
I just couldn't cross.
That's why I
Oh,
Isn't
music
so
like
bad?
The Strokes is no totally the reason why I started smoking Me cigarettes too. In high school. It's because I would
blame
you
listen, Julian for it.
Yeah.
I was like, I'll be cool.
He looked very cool smoking a cigarette.
Cool.
They really do. I mean, there's a reason why people smoke. It's not because it looks ugly.
It's because it looks cheap. Cool. It looks like I'm over this.
I know. And
it looks ugly.
But I will say there was also something about smoking as a teenager that just, once you become the age of like, you just look like a sad man having a cigarette outside of like a comedy club.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I would like look in the mirror and be like, oh, I don't look like a chic little girl.
No.
Like, I'm truly just like
decrepit.
a sad man.
Ben, what would your outfit look like? Your Strokes outfit.
Oh my God. I mean, pretty similar to Miguel's, to be honest. Mm. I love like, it would have probably been, and I wasn't cool enough in high school. I wasn't getting any band t-shirts just yet.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I would have gotten, like, probably, like, a graphic tee. And I love, I think, Abba, you mentioned Adventure Time was very, like,
yes,
intimate. I was big in maybe, like, an Adventure Time t-shirt. My jeans, I will say, the rips would have been big. And
yes.
They would have been visible.
Mm-hmm.
So, so tight. I will never, should I choose to donate my sperm, that sperm will not work.
Thanks a lot, Julian, in fact.
Thanks a lot, Julian. Also, you know what else is bad for sperm health? Smoking cigarettes. So, right. Thanks to the strokes, I'm effectively infertile.
And congratulations.
And I'm going to sue them for that. But it would be that. And Converse for sure. And they would have to be like, you know what I loved is like an all like black shirt, black skinny jeans.
Yes.
And then the pop of colors and like a cherry red Converse.
Yes.
That to me.
That's so 2009. That's, oh my God. Because
we would be remiss if we didn't mention that the Strokes had, they all had like a uniform aesthetic, but Albert Hammond Jr., one of the guitarists, specifically would always wear button up shirts with a tie and like the belt would match the socks.
Yes. And I thought it was so hot.
And
I thought
it was gross mixed with like, what? You put work into this.
Yes.
Those skinny ties I thought were the coolest fucking thing. I remember being like kid being like, the minute I have to go to a wedding or a funeral, I'm getting a skinny tie.
Well, I hate that like bands like All American Rejects actually also kind of sort of dress like that. And it's really warped what I find attractive, and I really hate that. Like, I am blocking my blessings by waiting for some loser who looks like he's a barista. You know what I mean?
Oh my God.
You can find that. That's not that hard to find.
It's very accessible.
Abba, just throw a rock. You'll hit two.
And they're probably comedians.
You live in the West End. Like, you
not
will.
Anymore. Not anymore.
Oh, yeah. You're.
Wait, where are you?
Well, it's still kind of West End.
I guess I don't have to ask you where you live on the podcast.
What's your address?
Postal code. Give us your postal
honestly,
code.
Please, someone come and kill me. I'll happily say my address.
Which way does your window face? Don't put that
out there. Aiden, what's your Strokes outfit?
Yeah.
I would just wear the OC's Adrian Brody like a backpack.
Aiden O'Loughlin Jr.
You horny little bitch.
I'm sorry. But I stand by my answer.
No, it works. It works for you specifically.
Thank you.
Oh, that's really funny. Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. And before we end, I guess I was going to ask, like, what's a project you want to see the Strokes come out with before their career ends or before they, like, all die? It can be anything.
Oh, I know what it is. It's not funny or special. I just want to see them live again.
Aww,
because
yeah.
Because the pandemic has, like, really, really brought into focus how much I enjoy live music.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
I think we all. I don't think any of us are ready for when we see a band for the first time. Doesn't matter what band. And you'll see any band and you're just going to be like,
I'm going to be sobbing.
Everything about it.
You can put me into like, whatever, the March of the Juggalos. Is that what it's called?
That place is apparently like loving now. Apparently those people are nice.
Oh, I would have cried. Well, because they look like white supremacists.
They look like Juggalos. But
they're a marginalized group.
They're a terrorist group and a marginalized group somehow, apparently. But the Strokes, like, you know, the other thing is that they were so good live.
Mm-hmm.
They're from an era where, like, being the tightest band ever was super relevant.
Yeah.
So I've seen them live, like, probably 6 or 7 times. And they're like,
where have perfection. You seen them live?
I saw them at several places. ACC, back when it was, like, they would close half of it off and make it the theater.
Yeah.
Of course.
I saw them in Mississauga at the Hershey Center.
No. Yeah. That's insane.
And, oh my God. Here's a funny story about that place before we get out of here. Mm-hmm. We're there watching it, and the album that has I'll Try Anything. What's that song called again?
I'll Try Anything Once.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Is that the demo version? Anyways. They're playing that, and I turn around. I'm standing right in front of the sound booth, like that's kind of like caged off.
Mm-hmm.
And a celebrity was standing in there watching them.
Oh my God.
And someone else was like, look who's there. And it was George Clooney.
George Clooney?
No. At the Hershey Center in Mississauga watching the Strokes.
In Mississauga?
What?
Nico, that was the last name I'd ever expect to hear.
I would expect you to say Drake before fucking George Clooney.
I know.
No, George Clooney, like sunglasses indoors, hiding in the sound booth because he's just such a huge Strokes fan.
That is so crazy.
Yeah.
Oh my God. And he just had to go to the Hershey Center.
He had to go to the Hershey Center in downtown Mississauga.
I can picture someone in his team be like, I know you said you wanted to go see the Strokes tonight, but just so you know, it's at the Hershey Center in Mississauga. And he's like, I don't care.
I'll see my boys anywhere, even Brampton.
I'll stand with the sound guy.
Yeah.
Get out of here, George.
Oh, God. It makes sense, though. I feel like a guy who would shit in his friend's cat litter box as a prank to go and see the Strokes on Wayne Mississippi.
Honey's probably shitting so much from all those Nespressos he drinks.
any person who's like, yeah, I'm known for pranks.
Yeah.
Like, ugh, yikes.
Yikes. Get out of here.
Yeah.
You don't have a personality.
I'm so good looking and cool that I play these pranks on people and I don't think about the aftermath or the results or how they feel.
Oh, I'd love to see like fly on the wall footage of him trying to pull his first ever prank on Amal and her, a human rights lawyer, being like, do not do that to me ever again.
Like, you violated my rights.
You, yeah.
Did you put salt in my coffee? That isn't funny.
It's an espresso ad.
And he's like, I also put sugar in your gas tag.
What?
What?
That's a quick way to destroy your car.
Right.
Okay, George, that's funny.
And that's what makes their marriage work.
Oh yeah. My God.
That's why they've been together all this time.
I don't
time.
Believe that they're married. She's her beard. It doesn't make sense. He's.
They're not. You think he's gay?
Yes, he's gay. I think everyone's okay. gay, though.
Because you know why? This is why everyone is.
Everyone's gay. Everyone's a little bit gay.
Everyone's a little bit gay.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Just kind of.
Miguel's co-signing. So
oh, yeah, absolutely. Have to be a little bit gay. What's the point of anything?
Oh, my God.
Exactly.
This episode.
The Strokes used to have this like aggressive hetero makeout thing that they did all the time too. They would all make out with each other in front of every time they were in an interview or like on stage, and it would be like, "Who cares?"
Yeah.
Oh, like,
throwing caution to the wind. I'll kiss my friend.
We're not even gay. We fucking love making out. Yeah. Very bizarre.
God. Oh my God.
One of them had to have been.
One of them.
It was
fast. One of them. At least. At least.
What'd you say?
No, it's just like out of five.
Oh, statistically,
Statistically, two of them are gay,
yes.
I think.
Truly. And those two were the ones, like, you know what we should do in like an interview? You know, it'd be like so funny.
So funny.
I was like, I don't know. We don't really like make out though. It's like, yeah, but no, we do it. And now it's really
subversively.
Funny.
Subversively, of course.
Subversively.
I mean, like, whatever or whatever, but we should all make out.
There's always like that one guy that's like, you know, it'd be so fucking hilarious. Next time, hand jobs. And they're just like, hey.
That's funny.
That's subversive.
That's funny.
That.
Oh my God.
Now that is comedy. Oh my God. I've enjoyed myself. This has been such a funny, fun episode. I've enjoyed myself. Thank you
I've
so
enjoyed
much.
Myself also.
I've enjoyed myself. No, it's so much fun talking about the Strokes because they're such like a very much a relic of my youth. I'm still young.
Definitely.
But like,
when I found out we're talking about the Strokes, I was like dancing to Undercover Darkness in my bedroom.
Yes.
Just really having fun.
Yes.
You know, really, and I'll just say that this last album was good, but the album before that, Come Down Machine, is also pretty okay good.
I never got into Come Down Machine because I didn't like, get this, the album art. Isn't that so stupid?
Oh my God.
Isn't it like an RCA?
Oh, wait, never mind. I didn't like Angles. I liked Come Down Machine. Never mind.
Angles is bad. Angles is bad.
I don't like, why is the album like
that? Interesting because Angles was like, I think the first Strokes album I like listened to.
Really?
It's not terrible. It just does not measure up.
There are only like two songs that I remember. And even like Machu Picchu's not even that good, if I'm real.
Yeah, Machu Picchu's.
I don't like the guitar song.
You know what the best Stroke song is later? Oh. It's not a Stroke song. It's Julian with Daft Punk.
Oh.
Julian. What the hell is that song called again?
Instant Crush?
Julian. Instant Crush.
Yeah.
Man, that song is good.
So good. Oh my God.
I need to revisit.
Because it's like, it's Daft Punk, but I feel like did Pharrell produce on that album?
He worked all over that album. Yeah. I don't know if he had his hands on that track.
I wonder.
Probably.
Yeah, there's like a Pharrell-ism there before he ruined our lives with Happy. It was after that. I can't remember. But yeah, such
he definitely
a good
sings
single.
On a few songs on that album.
Yeah.
Like Happy, obviously.
Oh, yeah. I did like that song, as annoying as it was. But yeah, before you go, Miguel, tell us one more time where we can find you and what we should support that you have coming up.
Mm-hmm. Everybody should listen to the Tony Ho podcast,
yeah.
which I heard has a new writer
who
may or may not be a part of this podcast.
I know who it is. It's Abba.
It's Abba. And so the Tony Ho podcast, we're making season 3 right now.
It's
going to come out sometime soon-ish. Season one and two are available wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah.
That's so much fun.
And yeah, check out Pretty Hard Cases and listen to Because News on CBC Radio.
Yeah.
Yes. And that's me.
Yeah.
Also, Meg Rivas on everything.
Yes. Yay! Perfect. Thank you so much, so much, so much.
Yes, thank you so much. This was great.
Such a fun time. Please follow me at ABAQUAN on Twitter. Same name on Instagram, except one extra N. And please follow, subscribe, rate a Nostalgic Podcast. We need the ratings. It's what feeds our children.
It what feeds our children. Listen, I am a mother of three. Everybody who's listened from the podcast knows this, and they are hungry. Mm-hmm. So leave a 5-star rating. It truly is the best way to support the pod. Follow Nostalgic Pod on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, blah, blah, blah. Ben Sosa Wright on Twitter and TikTok. JK Miss Thing on Instagram. I think I'm just going to change it. All Ben Sosa Wright on all platforms.
Your fans,
officially, I'm doing it today.
Yeah, your fans need to find you.
I'm doing it today. And yes, leave a rating and review wherever podcasts are found.
Yeah, and what about you, Aiders?
Oh, yes, Aiders.
Yes, you.
Yes!
Aiders on Instagram. I think Aiden_O'Loughlin. Good luck spelling that on Twitter.
If you've spelt it and you've made it that far, then that's the true test.
Okay. I remember being in kindergarten and them being like, this is how you write your first name. And I was like, no problem. There's repeated letters here. And then they were like, this is your last name. And I was like, I'm never going to learn this.
Didn't what's her name from, what was it, Full House go to jail? Doesn't she have your last name?
Lori Loughlin.
Yeah. She popularized the name. So.
She sure did.
She did it
for you.
Yeah. Just for you.
When I go to jail, I have a suite ready.
There's a precedent. She's already set a precedent.
Yeah.
You're going to walk into and be like, another Loughlin.
Oh my God. Admission scandal queen.
Alrighty then. I guess it's time to say bye.
Bye.
Can you tell I work with kids?
Okay, everyone, get your backpacks ready. Okay, so you've been listening to ABBA.
And you've been listening to Bye.
This podcast has been brought to you by the Sonar Network.
Sonar!
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.